to welcome you to another episode of Money Matters Top Tips for Success, where each and every day I bring on new business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and have them share their top tips for success with you. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, moneymatterstoptips.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Adrienne Wilson on the line, and she is the CEO and executive chef over at Feed Our Soul. Adrienne, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Adam.
So I'm excited to get more into what you're doing over at Feed Our Soul. But before we do that, let's get a little bit further into your background. So how did you get started in your career and in business?
Well, it's a pretty interesting story. I am born and raised in South Los Angeles, California. And then, you know, I went to college on the East Coast. And I've always been really interested in food and cooking and just like feeding my soul having fresh and natural food in my diet. I used to cook with my family a lot. I'm from a Black household. My mom's from the South. My dad is from California here. And so we always really found it enjoyable and have found family time, you know, in the kitchen. And so once I moved over to New York for a couple years, and I really found that I was just cooking a lot. That's where I missed my family. And so I just brought in a lot of culinary expression, you know, through my life. And so I started a food blog that was called Feed Our Soul that was based around recipes for young single women who wanted, you know, minimal cleanup that we could make one meal singularly for one person, which is something that I could not find on the internet. Everything was made for, you know, families, servings of three or four, but there weren't really meals and recipes out there that were for single women. So I started my food blog then, and then it got a lot of traction, which was amazing. And then I decided that I was going to go to culinary school and get my degree and become a chef. So I dropped everything and I moved to Barcelona, Spain, and I received my culinary degree there. And then I also came back and just seeing the difference between how the European Union takes care of their food waste and how they use their food and also how they really have access to fresh and natural food there. And I was just so baffled by why we don't have that same system and place in the food and hospitality industry. So I packed my bags and I moved back to California. And I really discovered that, you know, food deserts and food insecurity is just so prominent, and not only here in Los Angeles, but in all of our large metropolitan areas. And there are neighborhoods such as South Los Angeles and Detroit and Chicago and Washington, D.C., where there are low-income households that are suffering because they don't have access to fresh and natural food supply. So then I started Feed Our Soul, which is a gardening and nutritional program where I teach you how not only to cook your home, how to plant and cook your homegrown produce. And that is how it got started.
Wow, what an amazing story, and I love it. You're like, so I packed my bags, and I'm off to Spain, and then I packed my bags, and it sounds to me like when you pack your bags, you go on a new adventure. I love it. I love your entrepreneurial venture. So that being said, you know, there's some entrepreneurs and some people that are just getting started. They're nowhere near as far along with their idea or concept as you are. I mean, you've been in business already with Feed Our Soul now, you know, going on 7 years or a little over 7 years. What kind of advice would you give to that new entrepreneur that's out there that really has this idea or this passion and they want to bring it to market and, you know, take it to that next step? Because you've managed to do it in your career, so now you have a little bit of the benefit of hindsight on your side. What would be your advice to them?
My advice would be to do something and find something that wake up in the morning that you have so much passion about that you won't stop. And that really can be anything. And I think that when you have an idea, it has to be a very global idea, but also be locally driven. So I think it's important to make sure that when you are looking for starting a business, that it affects all people and it supports all people, because then you have no boundaries and no limits on your audience and on your target. Because at the end of the day, if everyone can benefit from it, then that's how you can grow. That's how you can be successful. And that's how other people will buy into what your business is.
That's awesome. I love that. So I want to switch it up a bit. Let's get into what you're doing over at Feed Our Soul. So you gave us kind of high level what you're doing. Let's go a little bit further. So tell me a little bit more about the business, please.
Sure, absolutely. So Feed Our Soul is a restorative organization at the end of the day. What we do is we look for sustainable solutions in order to bring fresh and natural produce directly into food desert neighborhoods. Essentially reverse food insecurity that's happening in South Los Angeles specifically. So what we do is we install hydroponic gardens, which are soilless garden and growing units that are also vertical. They have minimal space. They use minimal space and they use about 90% less water and 90% less space. And they're essentially designed for the urban environment. So we install these hydroponic gardens into schools, into senior residences, churches, community spaces, homes. And then we have our Field Food Foundation coaches that curate the garden for you so it can grow whatever you're looking to grow. It can grow up to 150 different types of varieties of produce. It also can grow in one tower. You can grow up to 40 different types of different things. So you can grow anything from herbs to vegetables. It grows tomatoes, grows peppers, cucumbers. It can really grow almost anything that you would need to have a fresh and natural and healthy diet. And then our Food Foundations coach then helps you, teaches you how to grow, and then teaches you how to cook the food that you're growing, because that's what I found was the biggest gap, is that between the growing of the food, people want to eat healthy, they want to, you know, have more greens and more vegetables incorporated into their life, but they don't know how to cook it. And they don't know how to cook it in a way that they enjoy and how to incorporate the food naturally into their diet. So then our Food Foundation coach then helps you grow your food and then teaches you how to cook your own recipes that you love and enjoy. And so it's a natural way how to bring vegetables and produce into your lifestyle without having it seem like it's a diet or like making you not eat something. It's just a natural incorporation of fresh and natural food into your diet. And so that's what we do.
Can you elaborate on that concept of food deserts? Because I don't want to assume that all our listeners understand what that is. That's something that I just actually myself learned about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the term. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. So a food desert is a geographical neighborhood or a space where their households do not have access to fresh and natural produce, which means that they do not have access to a grocery store within 0.5 miles or where they're walking distance to a grocery store. They are in a certain economic income bracket. We're making probably less than $40,000 to $30,000 for one household. And they also do not have access to a vehicle, so that they are using public transportation in order to get to their grocery store. So that is the official definitions from the U.S. FDA of what a food desert is. Now, you can take it a step further. And when I was doing my research in grad school about food insecurity, which is even a little deeper, so I've made 3 points about the food insecurity, because I add that one is it adults that have more than one job, right? Because that also incorporates into time and how much and how often they get to cook. I also incorporate if they have more than 2 to 3 children, because that also incorporates about how much food you can produce and how many mouths that you have to feed. And then I also incorporated, if they can access food in their workplace. Because some of places, and usually if they have 2 to 3 jobs and they cannot access food, or their job does not provide or give them food. And if you work in a corporate office, and, you know, sometimes there's a snack room and there's lunch, but, you know, if you're working in a food insecure at home, then you're usually either working it for the metro, or you're doing other clerical work that doesn't give you access to food on a regular basis. So that is where I work, is in food desert and food insecure neighborhoods and households.
That's awesome. So Adrian, if somebody wants to learn more about Feed Our Soul, what's the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. They can check out our website, is www.feedoursoul.com. We also are on Instagram at Feed Our Soul, and also on Facebook at Feed Our Soul LA. And those are probably our three best platforms that you can access. You can also access me directly. My name is Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at feedoursoul.com.
Perfect. Well, hey, Adrian, really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing more about your background and all the great work you're doing over at Feed Our Soul. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. I hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Leave me a review on the Apple iTunes store. Share this with your friends, family, colleagues. Do all those great things we do to support our podcasters. I really do appreciate it. And Adrian, thanks again for coming on the show. We'll be right back.